to either accept the street or to let it be redeveloped and make this a developable site for a project that will benefit the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion from council?
A question. There's no development agreement, though, right? There's no development proposal been submitted?
None whatever.
So what's the certainty for those property owners that they will continue to have the use of the right-of-way, or there won't be a right-of-way anymore?
No. The certainty is they will have the use of the right-of-way that's there. We are proposing a parking reconfiguration on the west side to put nose-in parking to provide parking.
Supposing your design changes once you adapt to market conditions, what then is the certainty for those property owners that currently have access? They currently have a right-of-way. They're getting some future promise for parking instead?
No, the parking is shown as our design and would be in the right-of-way. And we couldn't, of course, redesign the public right-of-way without approval from the city. We are proposing replacing it with parking that is in the right-of-way as nose-in parking.
Dean, can I answer that,
sure,
too? The city engineer has the right to decide the design of the public right-of-way. I did a comp plan zone change, for example, and city council conditioned it specifically on Broadway as to the design, and the city attorney informed council that the city engineer could modify that design according to their standards and safety. So when a development comes into the city, nothing will really change, but when the development comes in, the city engineer has the authority, and you could talk to your city engineer about this, to decide based on the development where access points will go, how the right-of-way will be designed specifically. That's their authority and their right.
Dean, I have a question. Peter said that given the time that's elapsed and the difficulties in having originally reached the affected property owners and communicated them, it would almost be impossible to replicate that. Now, I just was curious why, if you've been successful in the past communicating with those property owners, why would that be a bigger challenge now going forward to communicate with them again?
For one thing, there are a number of different property owners. When the petition started, which was actually sometime before I was involved in the project, the property owners we had to ask were fixed as of that time. Since then, I believe one building has gone condo in the affected area, which means notifying and securing permission from quite a lot more owners than there used to be. For it to be undertaken again, I don't think anybody would start the process thinking it might take 10 years to get to completion. I don't think a developer would condition a proposal on getting a street vacation thinking it might take even, let's say, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years to get to the point of street vacation. So the practical impossibility is that nobody's going to be motivated to try this process again, seeing what it took to get to this stage.
May I add to that? I have two recent offers on the property by local people, but they're both predicated on there being a street vacated because they can't. All the adjacent lots are shallow on the ones that are on the front side, and the ones that are on the rear side are impinged upon by a conservation district. So you've got a series of shallow lots split by a almost 80-foot wide street, and it's very hard to develop according to modern standards with such lots that are not very deep. You wouldn't be able to provide the parking, for example.
So I guess I have a question on the, with such capable counsel at either side of you and yourself. So if we were to allow the vacation and then you've showed us, some proposals about how you would handle parking and all that, but if it gets sold to somebody else, is any of that binding on them?
The proposals for parking inside a future development are, that's something the city will have to look at and review through design review through whatever the application is to develop the property. The proposals for how to treat the right-of-way and how to provide parking in the right-of-way that remains are binding. You're the city. You control the remaining right-of-way. You can say the parking will look like this or look like that and impose whatever conditions you want. That's not something a private developer gets to change.
I'm confused. What part of the right-of-way are you proposing to vacate versus not vacate?
Okay. If you look at the Exhibit 16, Commissioner Fritz, The north-south portion of 43rd Avenue, it's a little strip between two tax lots running south from the highway. The area in green that's within the existing right-of-way
lines.
Can
you use the cursor?
Let's see.
Is that sure?
Here we are. This is the north-south part of 43rd Avenue that would be vacated. I'll draw the cursor around the outline of the area that would be vacated, like so, and then up here. At this point, the golden area here is property that we're proposing to be vacated but would accrue to the adjoining landowner, not to Ms. Sedlin. And then the vacation continues up here and then back to where we started. The area over here would remain public right-of-way. That's area, again, that PBOT and the city engineer control. We are showing a parking layout that we propose for it, but it's up to the city to say how the parking will be arranged there and what use will be made of this portion of the right-of-way.
Thank you for the clarification.
Dean, can I make, this was not just arbitrary. We have been working with your city engineers all the way from Elizabeth Papadopoulos through Kurt Kruger with these designs. So these, we're not just bringing these in to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And there's anyone else signed up?
Yes. I believe it's Jack Stanley.
Raleigh Hills.
Can I use
well, it's a couple
exhibit
miles
16?
That way, but yeah.
Do you mind?
Yeah.
Elise?
It's just an overview
you
of the problem.
Sure.
Is that all right?
Where the Albertsons is.
Okay.
Yeah,
where
the Albertsons is the closest on the right here.
The Albertsons.
This is heading west. Yeah.
You might want to sit by the computer there if you want to point something out to us.
No. Richard Freiman or Charles Durkins want to come up now also?
Are they with you or?
No.
Are you with them?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you, if you want to come up as a group? Okay.
You're all together?
Yeah, those three
okay.
will be together.
Go ahead, sir.
My name is Jack Stanley, and can you see this exhibit 16?
We will
in
a second.
On paper.
I own the property with the bright yellow,
okay.
43rd, 4342. It's a restaurant called Cactus Jack's. I've owned it since 94. I bought the property in 99, so I've been the property owner since 1999. And just to the west, there is an acupuncture place, a business that was a Orkin Pest Control, and now they're an acupuncture. Right behind my bright yellow in the white area here, there's an auto repair shop for Audis and Volkswagens. The orange is an industrial kind of HVAC business. And then to the far west is the Blackwells, who operate a body shop. And the reason, there's several things that these fine attorneys and planners just said that really don't make sense. The reason why there has been no resolution over 10 years is exactly, I think, Commissioner Saltzman, you just said, if they were to sell it, there is no binding commitment to the development of the property. And this property is unique with the because it is an old highway, and since this new highway's been in, there is no street parking. And then back here is an extremely steep hill. So if you wanted to have viable businesses in this area, the only way you know, your customers can access your business is through this street access. And by eliminating that street access or having Barbara and her planners make no commitment to what is going to happen is the reason why that there's always been argument. I own a restaurant. By all means, let's make the streets in the area look nicer. More people come to areas that look nice for restaurants. But the problem is that if Barbara was the developer, And she had a clear-cut plan of here's what I wanted to do with this, and it would benefit her by increasing her property value and increasing the beauty of her area, as well as maintaining us business owners that have been there. I've been there for 15 years. Some of them have been there for longer, 30, 40 years. And so the concern has always been vacate this property, increase Barbara's property value. Sure, she can sell it for a lot more money. But what's it do to the rest of us? They keep wanting to put a cul-de-sac or a turnaround for delivery trucks in front of my restaurant. There is no parking for the automotive shop that's behind me. We share the parking in front of me. I'm more of a restaurant, so at night we have my customers come in. His customers come during the day. And then just to even get through the street, if you block that off to come in and do a cul-de-sac to turn around or have a dead end, It doesn't make any sense. And my real short argument is, again, if she was the developer or if there was a clear-cut plan for the development of it, it would make sense. But it never does. It always comes in to how can we improve the dark green area on this map. And the other area, guys, you know, her attorney, Dean, just said, well, we can't make a commitment to parking. That's going to be up to the PDOT. Well, we've talked to PDOT.
So have you opposed this all along?
Yes.
Okay, so even when she had a development, you opposed it. Even when she had firmer designs, knowing that...
I've never seen firmer designs.
Well, the designs we have, you've never seen before?
No, the one right there where there was the trees and the other ones, that has never been presented, and there's no commitment to it.
So is it your concern that, I mean, I'm looking at this Exhibit 4, and I see that parking in the cul-de-sac, and we can make that a matter of city law or subject to the final interpretations of the engineers for the city. Tell me why that doesn't work for your parking needs. I mean, it's nice to have the whole area for parking, but why doesn't that? I don't quite understand your argument that on-street parking doesn't work for you.
Well, number one, because it's a lot less. I mean, I don't know. We've never really actually talked about how many parking stalls would be there. Right now, right or wrong, we use, you know, park up and down the street. And I'm a small restaurant, so quite frankly.
So do you think that that's in the best interest of everybody to continue the status quo like that?
Absolutely not. I think, though, that what's in best interest of the community and what's best interest of making the rest of the area having viable businesses is to have some way to get through the property or some parking, some commitment to saying that we're just not going to block off this dark green area.
You said parking, and then you just said throughway.
There needs to be a combination of both. I'm sorry that I can't give you that concise answer.
All right. Why do you think there needs to be a throughway?
Because how do trucks, cars get in and out? There needs to be a turnaround. It can't be a dead end.
Okay, and they proposed a turnaround and that it doesn't
suffice. That eliminates a bunch of parking. If you put a big cul-de-sac in front of there, I will have no parking in front of my business.
So if there was loading only during certain hours and the rest of the time it was parking like we manage downtown every single day, that wouldn't work?
There is not enough. You're trying to pin me down, and I respect that, on why is it...
That's kind of what we do here.
Well, I'm going to give you an answer. There's just not... The proposed deal is not enough parking.
How much parking do you need?
Do you want a number of spots? Or
that's kind of what we do here, yeah.
Well, could I help here?
Well, wait.
Sure.
Do you know the number of spots you need?
Just like Barbara, I don't want to be pinned down to it. 30 spots. How about that?
So I don't know if we have this Portland Maps photograph, and I'd like to make sure that this is in the record. I don't know who gave it. It is. Linda's telling me it is. And that, having visited the site several times, it shows all of the perpendicular parking that is available now, and people do use it for commuter parking as well, with it being on the highway. And there's no parking on Beaverton Hillsdale, is that right? Or is there a single strip of parking on Beaverton Hillsdale?
There is none on Beaverton Hillsdale.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Elise Goforth. I have a company, Wings Project Management. Barbara Sedlund is a client of ours. We do construction management for her on her other properties, as well as helping her through the street vacation process on this property. One of the tasks that's fallen to me is to remediate the vandalism that takes place on this lot or series of lots in its current condition. And so, although it's my estimate that 6 times a year or bi-monthly, we are hauling off illegally dumped debris, toilets, sofas, tires, et cetera, as well as vandalism to property, graffiti, et cetera. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you is that I am the one who personally obtained the signatures from the property owners 10 years ago. I'm the one who met with each and researched and each one of the neighboring people. Jack Stanley's signature was one of the signatures I obtained at that time. So there was a point in time when he did think that this was a good idea. It took me over a year of diligently working through that process to be able to complete it. And I agree that it's not something that anybody would volunteer to have to repeat. And then finally, speaking for the local construction industry, it would be greatly welcomed, the jobs that this would create, if we were able to develop this lot.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. My name is Richard Freimark. I'm the principal broker of Meridian Trust Real Estate Services and a neighbor to this project. I live across from Bridal Mile Elementary School, which is about 3 or 4 blocks from this location. When we moved here 15 years ago, there was a lumber company located in that location. And since their fire and leaving the location, it's really become an attractive nuisance in the neighborhood. I've had 3 children go through Lincoln High School, all of which have partied in that area at night. And recently, the property was listed by McAdam and Forbes, one of the larger commercial firms in town. Through that listing, it was made available to all commercial brokers in Portland. We did show it to 4 different developers who had concerns about access, had concerns about the setbacks due to the environmental constraints on the property. And the city's planning department now wants properties to back up to the major highways with parking in the back or not necessarily visible from the street for a more attractive streetscape. And all of the people we were working with on the property with the current configuration could not make a development in this area financially feasible because of the development restrictions to the south and the requirement to build along the streetscape, not giving them enough parking either internally or within the project.
Thank you. Thank you both, Kurt and team. Oh, there's more.
Sorry.
Welcome to City Council.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I am Charles Dankers. I'm a lawyer out of Milwaukee, Oregon. This is Mr. Blackwell, my client. I've been representing Greg for 25 years now and have been involved in this project since probably 2007 or 8. Mr. Blackwell is the property owner to the east end of the development. He owns the body shop down there. He is concerned about the proposal because he actually uses this road, and if we could go back to this exhibit, that services his property right here to get in larger trucks, tow trucks, hauling vehicles behind them, semis delivering materials to his shop, and he needs that space to turn around those vehicles. The proposal plans to give him access to Beaver and Hillsdale Highway through a little sliver of land that's up here towards the front in that little triangular position, and I can't read the number on that. But that causes problems because the property slopes uphill significantly as you get down there, and those trucks won't be able to clear that berm that's coming on in. And then once they get onto his property, he will also have a problem getting them to be turned around and get back out onto Beaver and Hillsdale Highway. And lastly, I'd like to say that we were working on this fairly diligently back in 2008, and there were a series of meetings that we had. I recall 3. And then this thing just died, and I don't know why it died then, but it has just sprung back to life magically, and Mr. Blackwell's concerns have never been addressed, at least to my knowledge, in my file.
Anything you'd like to add, sir?
Yes, and I've been in business since 1991, and I used to rent her building, and then I ended up buying my building. And ever since I've been in this business, Barbara's complained about how everything looks horrible around there. Barbara hasn't did one thing to try to make the area look good. Her building looks the worst out of anybody's building. Her land, she never maintains it. And I'm just concerned that she's, you know, we're businesses. I've been there. I have 5 employees, and I'm concerned that she's going to put a squeeze on my business to try to better hers, you know, better her land. And like I said, it goes away and it comes back, and she's never tried to please anybody other than herself.
Can you go back to the map, Carla, just so I understand? I didn't quite follow. So your building is 5,400?
No, my building is 4,200.
4,200.
So it's right by 42nd?
Yes.
So the vehicles arriving at your property currently do the loop through.
Yes.
You need the connectivity.
Mm-hmm. And if she vacated it, then they would have to come in, and it would be a real hard thing to do with a tow truck. And then we get semis. I seen on one of these pictures they had a big semi back in there. They're not going to turn it around in there the way she's wanting to design it.
Do you have parking behind your building?
No, I don't. My parking's all right in front of my building.
And do you currently have customers who access your business along 42nd?
No, you can't access 42nd. It's a curb all along the corner there.
Real steep, too.
Yeah, it's a steep hill steep. Right there.
And what kind of work do you do on vehicles?
Auto body and paint.
So you take vehicles and put them in the building?
Yes, we put them in the building.
And you store the buildings that you store exterior to the building are in the queue to be worked on?
Yes. I do not store anything outside. I store everything in my building.
So what's in the picture we have, there's some vehicles parked in front of your building. What would they be for? Customers just?
Yes, they're customer cars. If it's 9 between business hours, all the cars in front of my building are customers' cars.
And cars that you work on come to you either because someone drives them themselves and drops them off, or a tow truck brings them?
Yes, most of my cars are come in on a tow truck through insurance direct repair. They send them to us, and then parts come in big diesel trucks that are 18-wheelers, and big trucks come in there, and they come in off Beaverton Hillsdale, and they head on that little road, and then they go right back out onto Beaverton Hillsdale on 43rd.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So what does the Bureau recommend?
Again, for the record, Kruger with Transportation. A little disappointed. I thought the council was going to hear of some possible purchase agreements that were in the works on some of the affected property owners. Would have significantly changed our recommendation to council today.
Which properties?
There's an individual that's not represented here. If we can go back to the map, the properties highlighted in orange, tax lot 2900. Given all the design concepts that we've developed with parking and turnarounds, that is the one property that we've been unable to find a solution for the large trucks that currently stage, turn around, use that right-of-way today. It was my understanding, and I don't believe I'm divulging any confidential information that was shared with me yesterday, that property was considered to be purchased by the petitioner. Had that been the case today, we would have recommended a continuance or a move of this for another 60 days to see if we can work out some of those issues, if that was indeed the case. Unfortunately, I did not hear that today, and I'm not sure we can change our recommendation to the council. What you're witnessing is what we've worked with the petitioners and the property owners for 3 years trying to find a viable, workable solution, and we haven't to date.
Can I ask just a couple questions there?
Yeah.
From the Neighborhood Association, in their letter, they refer to the potential negative impact on Fano Creek. Fano Creek is on the other side of the highway, and I'm not sure I understand why that's in play in terms of whatever happens here. Is that just a concern that any development here that increases any impervious surface could impact, regardless of what that development is?
In short, yes. It's a large vegetated area above the current right-of-way, and any development with impervious area would have
But it is on the other. It's on the. I mean, Fano Creek is on the other side of the highway.
North of Beaverton Hillstone.
North.
Yeah.
So one of the people mentioned that this was a prime development for transit-oriented development, and I take it that's because there's a bus stop somewhere adjacent to this property.
There is a frequent bus service on Beaverton Hillsdale.
And also, just to situate this, I mean, down the road, towards Beaverton, you've got now a lot of development, supermarkets, other services. To the south, we have a Gabriel Park, which would probably be a decent walk.
Yeah, considerable.
And there's an elementary school within
a few blocks.
And I'm just curious, since we've had some complaints raised on the record about the city's maintenance of the street, what is our legal obligation to maintain the street?
It is currently an unimproved roadway, and so our Title 17 would defer the maintenance to the abutting properties and owners until that is brought up to a current city standard. So one of the positions the city would take if we were to vacate this is some level of improvement to a current city standard, of which we would then take over maintenance. That would be a condition we would likely impose on the vacation of the street.
So just to be clear, that would be an LID on the adjacent property?
Either an LID or a permit that the applicant would pursue through the city.
So what was going to be your recommendation?
Our recommendation today going in was to deny this, because we've just spent so long working on this and haven't been able to reach a compromise that deals with all the access issues.
How many of the affected property owner, do you have a rule of thumb in what kind of consensus you need to get among affected property owners in order to make a recommendation to us?
Linda can go into the specifics, but we need 100% support from all the abutting property owners to support a vacation, and then there's a certain percentage of surrounding number of property owners.
And that's code?
That's code.
It's actually state statute.
So I was going to ask you, you haven't found the compromise yet. What to your minds is, what are the attributes of a compromise, one that takes care of the issues that we've heard about today?
Without getting into a significant amount of details, there's some element of parking, some element of turnaround. There may be some access easements that may need to be granted. We might even propose reducing some of the street vacation area to allow Mr. Blackwell some additional access. I think there's two or three different elements we could put into this to make it work, but there'd have to be agreement amongst property owners.
So you're saying we're bound by code if there's not agreement by surrounding property owners to deny it?
That's correct.
So we don't have any
I think the,
discretion.
The nuance on this is, and Linda, correct me here, when this petition was signed.
The petitioning council is shaking their head. That's not true.
When this was signed 10 years ago, there was support from all abutting property owners. They have changed ownership since the original petition.
I take it, though, the question for us is, I mean, I'm guessing it's at the time it comes to us, is there 100%, right? I mean, people are entitled to change their mind based on information they developed during the course. And I'm asking the following question just to understand how these things work, not to point fingers. But if the Planning Commission made a recommendation in 2004, what accounts for the bulk of the six-year interval between that and coming to us today?
I'm not sure there was a lot of activity on the petitioner's part between 2004 and 2007. I probably got significantly involved in 2007 with the petitioner's design team, an architect, consultant, and that's when we tried to bring in all affected property owners to work out a solution, and we had a series of meetings over about an 18-month period, and then essentially the file sat idle for another year and 4 or 5 months, and at that point we tried to push this issue to move it along to council to get a decision and close this file one way or the other.
If I could ask a follow-up, I want to just get my head around a public interest question. This is an area of the city where we have, in conjunction with Metro, made some judgments about the need for greater density. We have, as a council said, transit-oriented development is very important. Frankly, there could be some development here that reduces the use of cars. It could be an intentional development that is less car-dependent and more public transportation. Putting aside the state law requirement of getting the approval, I mean, what are our options? Let's say this came to the council in a different way, and the council looked at street vacation as a way of leveraging development, which we think is desperately needed in a community. Are we our hands tied in this process because of the 100% approval requirement, or are there other options either we have or a property owner has to advance a vision for development, which, after all, we as a council have said we need to do development to accommodate new people coming into our community?
I believe the council has purview to direct transportation to come up with the best design that may not suit everybody's needs, but if you were to choose to support this vacation, improve this vacation to further those goals, my recommendation would for us to come back with the best design and put specific conditions on the vacation that attempt to resolve as many of the issues as possible.
What's the zoning on this area in the Southwest Community Plan?
I believe most of the properties abutting Beaverton Hillsdale are either CG or CX. They're commercially zoned properties.
So it wasn't envisioned as a high residential area. CG is an auto-oriented zone. I want to just clarify to my colleagues, Street Vacations were always fascinating to me on the Planning Commission because they're a mixture of quasi-judicial and legislative. They don't have specific approval criteria, but they are limited to the one that we're considering right now. So the guiding policy is in the Comprehensive Plan, and it's Policy 6.21, Right-of-Way Opportunities. And it states, preserve existing right-of-way unless there is no existing or future need for them. Established street patterns will not be significantly interrupted, and the functional purpose of nearby streets will be maintained. So when I was on the Planning Commission, this was actually considered twice by the Planning Commission in December of 2003 when I was on the commission, when I moved and it was seconded that we deny the application, then it came back in February after the following February and it was approved. With very similar testimony, very similar discussion, and then a request for please let's have some more time to do some more work on this. I thought then, and I believe now, that there is clearly a need for the existing right-of-way. It's being used, and the street pattern would be significantly disrupted. We've heard from the property owners at both ends that they need the connectivity and they need the parking. And for us to vacate a street and then immediately say we're going to use the rest of the right-of-way for parking doesn't seem at all to me to meet the criteria in the policy for why we would vacate this. I think that if there is a future street vacation, it should be in conjunction with an absolute proposal. And I would be interested at that point in reconsidering this. But with nothing really changed since 2003 and the property owners still concerned about their current viable businesses, I believe we should deny the request.
So could we... when I look at this schematic on Exhibit 5, if you could pull that up, and I see that's a pedestrian way as envisioned with the center court kind of thing, plaza fountain, bollards, I see all that. Am I reading that right? Am I looking at that correctly?
That's correct.
So from a professional, purely professional point of view, with a nod to some of the needs that have been mentioned around the table, if you were to, we've employed skinny streets, we've employed like Northwest 13th, where you have streets that are no sidewalks and they provide a certain amount of connectivity, but at the same time they discourage a lot of cut-through traffic. Since this debate began 13 years ago, we've made a lot of innovations and access to corridors. Could you see, back to keen off some of your conversation with Commissioner Fish, could you see coming up with, just from a functional point of view, not entirely divorced from everyone's concerns, a way to both provide a certain amount of connectivity, but also to allow for the kind of development? And we just got out of a meeting recently with a shopping center on Hayden Island where we did exactly this, where you had internal streets that are designed like city streets with some site modifications, and everybody kind of gets what they want. Is that something that you feel like you're professionally qualified to come back to us with or to go back to the property owners?
I think if we had a petitioner, a developer before us today that was very interested in the scenario, yes, we could get to that solution. If I may, the challenge I see is we don't have a petitioner that is currently proposing a development. The petitioner is looking to sell this property, and this is not the development scenario that we're seeing come to us in the form of questions of potential buyers.
Let me ask this a different way. We, the city, have the right to impose street grids.
Correct.
We have to buy them. We don't get to just take them over for free, but the city could decide, actually, isn't it the transportation engineer could decide by there's a lot of authority there. So we could modify the street if you wanted to. The city could they not?
They could.
Okay. And that could be modified in a way that had standing, future standing, regardless of who owns the property.
That's correct.
So in your professional opinion, should we pursue that? Or is it your professional opinion, based on what you've heard today, we just deny it and see what happens next?
I'm going to reluctantly recommend that we come back in 60 days, see if we can try one more time with the petitioner and the property owners to come up with something that meets what you're describing and tries to meet some of the requirements that are causing some concern of the property owners.
Mayor, we do have another example. You mentioned a couple that are great, and I'm thinking about the investment we made around Director Park,
yeah,
where we created streets that can be, they're multi-purpose, they're green streets. They also, we brought the park to the abutting property owners. We have a process whereby they can be closed for certain events. You know, I appreciate what Commissioner Fritz said earlier, and I always, because of her experience in the Planning Commission, give great weight to what she has to say. But I'm also thinking, what if this was a slightly different application to us? What if this was a community coming to us saying they wanted to vacate the street because it's a park-deficient area and they wanted a park here? And this process seems to me, I mean, we wouldn't get too hung up on zoning. I mean, yes, it was zoned appropriate for the time, but zoning changes all the time, reflecting the changing needs of a community. This is a pretty residential area, and it's probably park deficient. I want to make sure that I understand these moving pieces going forward, because they're going to come at us more frequently, and they're not just going to be development driven. They could be other public amenity driven. And I'm also concerned that, you know, we've made it very clear that we need to accommodate more people, and we need to take underused area, and this is a clearly underused site, and create greater density. And I'd hate to think we're putting major roadblocks in the way of something we've articulated as a core council policy.
By directing the staff to work with the applicant to come up with some future scenario, we are crossing the line between quasi-judicial and legislative. And this, the proposal that was put up with the pretty picture here is totally not feasible, because there's a bluff and there's a conservation zone. If there's an environmental conservation zone, the neighborhood would be allowed to participate. There'd be a pre-application conference. There'd be a hearing. There would be a whole land use process to discuss what's best to happen on this project. If we ask the applicant to work with the staff to figure out something that might work, the neighbors are not going to be involved in that.
Mine was, I'm maybe inappropriately splitting hairs. My point is that, schematic or not schematic, what they have, the tip of the hat to, and granted there are other buyers who might not agree with this, is that there's a certain amount of connectivity. It happens to just be pedestrian connectivity. We have changed the way we're willing to be much more flexible on loading zones and a whole host of things that have changed since everyone got into sort of this discussion. I'm going to modify what Kurt says to see if it addresses your concern. Is I would just come up with something that you believe would work without necessarily for us to consider prior to going to the participants.
And can I get a clarification, Mayor, from the city attorney? I didn't understand we were in a quasi-judicial hearing.
We're not, but once you have a specific development proposal on the table that becomes part of the vacation issue, then it is. It's really site specific.
But I understood the mayor to be proposing that we try to find a solution for this particular street, independent, which is sort of a precondition to someone then looking at the overall site and determining whether there was development possibility. Where I thought we were simply trying to see if there is something we have some control over that maintains the connection that the businesses want, but creates a more favorable template for a developer to come in and then do something.
The staff has been working since 2007 without any pay to help them do that. For us to now direct the staff to come and put forward a development proposal, again, with no application fee.
No, I'm not suggesting a development proposal. I'm suggesting you've indicated, and others have indicated, a need for connectivity. Our interest is we have a rare single ownership piece of property in a part of town that this size of ownership is relatively rare on a transit stop. So it's transit-oriented development opportunity. We want to keep the existing businesses and actually make them more successful. You know, that's going to be hard, no question about it. Have we, the council, or anyone ever asked you to come up with an alternative to the vacation for both connectivity and allowing for the connectivity that allows for higher, better development? Have we asked you to do that before?
Not directly.
Okay. So it's kind of like 13 years of disagreement. I think we've got a great team in PBOT. I think we've learned a lot. I would send a message to Barbara and all the folks involved. Barbara? I would send a message to Barbara and all involved, including the fellow, the owner of the restaurant and the owner of the body shop. You know, don't throw in poison pills. You know, if you need 30 spots, you need 30 spots. You know, how many, you know, if semis need to back up to your, to service your parts and such, then, you know, we have new ways of providing that kind of access. You know, they don't necessarily need to back up to a loading dock anymore like we used to do it in the old days. There are all kinds of ways now. We have more flexibility, so I think there is flexibility here to potentially come up with something. Otherwise we're going to deny it. So there's got to be, everyone's got to have flexibility. And I realize everyone's patience is all used up, and you're, especially our staff, and you're running on vapors. But I would strongly recommend that we try for 60 days.
Can I recommend that the City Council set a time certain date, eliminate future notification requirements, and actually get a time scheduled to be here?
Was the neighborhood notified of this hearing?
I believe so, from the city auditor's office. I'd have to confirm. There's a notification process for this hearing.
Well, I have a letter as part of my package from the Neighborhood Association.
But it's dated.
And would you confer with the Neighborhood Association?
We will.
Yes.
As you look at this.
So, Mayor, is your suggestion the nature of a motion?
Yes. What's the right motion, though? Continue? So can you give us a time certain in 2 months here, Carla?
I'm wondering whether it should be an evening so that neighbors wouldn't have to take time off work to come in.
Sure.
60 days puts us into the December holiday, December 20th. So did you want to go to January?
I don't think we need an
okay.
Or the mid-December would be a little less. December 15th would be a little less.
First part of January.
First of January.
Sure, why don't you come on up here?
Mayor Adams, may I just for a moment, as Barbara's joining us, we have not had any...
Go ahead and have a seat, Barbara.
...negative neighborhood involvement in this. I'm going to speculate that the neighborhood is overly supportive if we can find a way of cleaning this right away up in many cases. If we can set a daytime certain, and I will extend an offer to the Neighborhood Association to join us at a work session with the property owners.
So we'll do a daytime session in January?
I cannot be here in January.
Ma'am, you're going to have to make an extra effort or...
I'm already pre-scheduled by... due respect, I have other commitments. I'm pre-scheduled. So I have another business, additional business. I'm pre-scheduled for a long time to participate in another event.
All
and could
January.
We possibly do this in December, like December 10th?
So what was wrong with the December 20th date?
It's the holiday week,
here.
And I don't know if we're meeting yet.
Yeah, I'm not here. So you have an event all the month of January?
Yes, I do.
What about the week?
It's out of the country. It's not.
2 months, 62 months from now would put us middle of December, right?
Today's the 20th, so we could do a mid-December, December 15th.
Are we okay with that?
That's a little less than 60, but...
All right, the 15th at what time?
December morning would be 9:30 or 2 in the afternoon.
I think typically neighbors prefer the afternoon in case they have childcare stuff in the morning.
So 2:00 on December 15th. This hearing is continued until such time, unless there are objections. It is so continued. Thank you.
Thank you.
Compromise, folks, and be creative and listen to our staff.
The minutes of the Planning Commission.
All right. Can you please read the title, first hearing of item number 1369?
Assess benefited properties for street improvements in the Northeast 87th Avenue and Columbia Boulevard Local Improvement District.
Andrew, how are you?
Very well, Mayor Adam. Thank you. Carla, could I get your help to switch over to the couple of slides here I have here on 87th and Columbia? Good morning, council members. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. This is a LID that we formed 5 years ago. The first slide, I'll wait till Carla turns out the lights here.
What's the item number on this, Andrew?
1369.
Okay.
This is a map of the LID from LID formation about 5 years ago. This is what the intersection looked like before we formed the LID. That area shaded in orange was the limits of the paving of the intersection. We had a fairly tight turning radius in there. So what we heard from businesses is that it was an unsafe intersection because the trucks coming down the street were having to swing into oncoming lanes of traffic to make that turn onto 87th Avenue. And coming off of 87th, turning onto Columbia Boulevard, they were having to drive up on private property there. The property you see there at 5741-5821 Northeast 87th Avenue. So they were actually driving off the pavement and crossing over the corner of that property. And then the other thing, too, was that the pavement there was substandard. It was among the worst 1% of streets in the city in terms of the condition of pavement, and there was no stormwater drainage or sidewalks. So after we formed the LID, we embarked on right-of-way acquisition, and we bought some of the property there on the corner properties, and that area in green is now the limits of the paving. So just to kind of jump back and forth, you can see that we've widened up the intersection so trucks can get through that intersection now. In terms of just recapping the LID, we are very slightly below the budgeted LID formation. We did actually stage construction in two different phases. You know, one of the things that we hear often at the city is complaints about a project gets done, 6 months later, city comes in and tears up what just got built. Well, as we were going through this project, we learned that BES wanted to extend the sanitary sewer into the intersection. So we made the decision to only do base lift paving and then wait to extend the sanitary sewer to do the top lift paving and finish off the intersection because we really didn't want to be assessing the property owners and then 6 months later tearing up the project that they just paid for. So just to recap, the benefits of this project are freight mobility. It alleviates a pinch point at the intersection. I mentioned that it also has the benefit of improving what was really poor condition pavement. We've extended the sidewalks and we've added stormwater management. So that's the extent of my presentation. We do have one property owner here to testify, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that council might have.
Any questions for Andrew? Okay, let's hear from the one property owner we have here.
Last time I looked at the sign-up sheet, I believe we had one property.
Michael Demetriou? Michael on Columbia Boulevard?
Okay, it doesn't appear that He is here. Was he?
Maybe he left us. Okay.
Was he opposed or?
Last time I talked to him, he was quite happy with the project. So usually I don't have people show up to recognize that, but last time I talked to him, I think he was satisfied with the project.
So could you let him know that you told us that and that we appreciate his effort in coming down to say so?
Okay. I hope I'm not misrepresenting his position, but that was the last one that he told me. So.
Tell him that, and then if it's different, let us know.
Andrew thinks everybody's in support of that project.
He also suggested that Andrew get a raise and more staff to do the excellent work he's doing.
In a better office, corner office. So.
Okay, well, if there's no questions, then this will move to a second reading.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carl, I have to read the next item if I get your help on the second presentation.
You could read the item first.
1370.
Yeah, 1379. 1370, sorry.
Okay. Assess benefited properties for street and bridge improvements in the Northeast 92nd Drive Local Improvement District.
Carla, I think I may have actually figured this out technology-wise, so.
Put the F5. And that would blow it up.
Thank you. Okay, so this is the final assessment of the Northeast 92nd Drive Local Improvement District. I wanted to recap the project briefly. We have two council members, Commissioner Fritz and Fish, who were not present when this LID was formed, so I wanted to bring you up to speed on this LID. This is a map of the LID. On the north side, you have Airport Way. On the east side, you have I-205. To the south, you have Columbia Killingsworth, and on the west, you have 82nd Avenue. The area that you see there in pink, roughly in the center, is the area of improvement for Northeast 92nd Drive. You can see at the south end of that area in pink, we have the Columbia Slough, the water body that you see there. I should just point out, on the east side of the LID boundary is I-205. In 2003, there was a pretty major tanker incident in which a tanker overturned on the freeway. If you look at Exhibit F in your ordinance, you'll see some pretty dramatic pictures that the Fire Bureau took in responding to that incident. And then on the south side of the LID, where Columbia Killingsworth is, there's also the Union Pacific Railroad. And as you know, railroads bring through quite a few hazardous chemicals as well. So one of the big motivations of this project in terms of achieving objective was to provide a secondary access route for properties south of the Columbia Slough that they previously didn't have prior to the formation of the LID. Now, the properties north of the slough already had multiple ways in and out because they have Airport Way, Alderwood Road, but properties south of the slough were limited to one way in and one way out. So we had some testimony at LID formation from then Fire Marshal Clem in support of the project. And when we went through and originally petitioned the project, we did the petition as a follow-up to property owner requests south of the slough wanting an additional access point because of the disruption they had to their businesses the day that that tanker truck overturned on I-205, among other reasons. Now, this next slide that I just advanced to is the area of improvement. You can see the area in pink there is the area of the road that the new roadway that we built. The area in green was the existing vehicle bridge that was built in 1961 for $17,000. I might point out that the paperwork and the file related to that is only about 3 pages long. So you could build a bridge for a lot less paper and a lot less money back in 1961. The area in orange over there to the right is our new ped bike bridge. So that's what got installed to the east there. Now, you may notice the area of pink overlays tax lots there, and the reason it shows up that way is that Multnomah County hasn't actually recorded that right-of-way dedication yet. They expect to do that later this year. If you're just wondering why the public right-of-way doesn't show up there.
Well, if I may interrupt, what was the reason for putting a ped bike bridge in that particular location?
I was going to cover that, Commissioner Fritz, on this next slide. Why don't I jump to the center section, then I'll kind of move back up to the top. What we did is we did value engineering. So when we went through the first petition effort, we had a project budget to the property owners of $3,022,000. And the project scope at that phase was to demolish the existing vehicle bridge that was built in 1961 and replace it with a newer bridge that was wide enough to accommodate sidewalks, bikes, pedestrians. But what we did instead was we came back with a second petition effort where we upgraded the existing vehicle bridge that was built in 1961. Basically just upgraded the approaches to it, made it earthquake safe. And then we went ahead and did a prefab ped bike bridge. You may recall back in January, council approved the change order for that. So it was a very cost-effective, efficient approach to getting the work done. And it involved a lot less in-water work and all the attendant risks that go with that, all the land use reviews, the approval of DSL, Corps, you name it. It really took out a lot of project risk. So we went into this project thinking that we were probably going to save at least $600,000 with the revised scope. And I'm pleased to note that the final amount of the project, in terms of what's being assessed to the property owners, is further reduced to $1.8 million. So, you know, we took $600,000 of cost out between the two petitions, and then we are coming to you today with a project that's about $600,000, further $600,000 below budget. So the property owners are getting the benefit of those savings. So to recap the assessments, the assessment range ranges from $159 on the low end to $183,000 on the high end. The overall estimate, 23.4%. below the estimated LID formation. The median assessments, half above, half below, is slightly under $10,000. So just to recap on a high-level project benefits, connect the north and south sides of the Columbia Slough. Folks on the south side get a secondary access point. I might also add it lifts a de facto development moratorium south of the slough. If I remember correctly, the square footage threshold is 144,000 square feet, above which development would be prohibited without a secondary access route. It also provides access for property owners south of the slough to access shopping, retail, and transit, such as the MAX Red Line north of the Columbia Slough. And by the same token, it also provides additional access to properties north of the Columbia Slough and brings business to them. So here's a picture of the original existing vehicle bridge, what it looked like prior to construction. And again, we plan to originally demolish it and replace it. If you look at that picture there in the lower left-hand corner, you can see that there's nothing underneath that bridge approach there, the corner. And so we were very concerned that if we didn't get the bridge upgraded and we had an earthquake and there were to be structural damage to the bridge, we would have had no choice but to tear it down and replace it. So that's all been rectified. This is a after picture. The top picture there shows the existing vehicle bridge. We refurbished that. And the lower left corner shows the truck going over that existing vehicle bridge. And then the lower right corner shows on the right the edge of the existing vehicle bridge with the ped bridge over to the left. This is actually a picture. It's not a painting. When I first saw this picture, I actually thought it was a painting. And then I looked closer and saw that it was actually a picture. But this is upstream on the Columbia Slough looking west, and you can see the new ped bike bridge in the front and then the existing vehicle bridge in the rear. The reason the ped bridge is quite a bit longer is because we want to do a clear span over the Columbia Slough to avoid that in-water work. And just in terms of some of the innovations that we did that helped lead to the cost savings on the project, this is something we hope to replicate on more projects around the city, but we put the swale in the middle of the street, where it saved us money in several different regards. Number one, we had less right-of-way to buy, plus we only had to build one swale instead of two swales, one on each side of the street, plus the center median also works as a traffic calming device. And then over there on the right side of the street, that's not actually a sidewalk that we built on 92nd Drive. That's around the corner on Alderwood Road. But the reason I wanted to show that to you is In the top of the picture, you can see a 6-foot sidewalk, and you can see in the bottom of the picture that transition to a 12-foot wide multi-use path. And one scope element that we changed on this project is instead of building bike lanes with separated 6-foot sidewalks on 92nd Drive, we decided to just build a 12-foot wide multi-use path. So there were several benefits from that. One is it's much, much cheaper to build a 6-foot wide additional width multi-use path than it is to build it in the bike lane area where you have to build it to a truck standard and the subgrade and all of that.